Awesome God Radio, Good Life Gospel Show. We are still here in the building, y'all. Thank y'all for joining us this morning. You still have about 50 seconds. That's all you got, 50 seconds to leave the live and share with at least 10 people so that we can bring awareness to our communities. This is so critical, y'all. I mean, this isn't just talking about just regular old stuff. This is not a normal day, business as usual. This is very, very important stuff. So I'm grateful to God for the partnership of my brother Chris. Shout out Chris. Hey, Chris. And Chris Simmons and his wife. We appreciate them. They're great friends, but an amazing resource to the community. And so today we have Sister Jade in the building. Good morning to you. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good to see you here. And you are accompanied by Sister Ashley.
Good morning.
All right.
Morning.
Everybody's a sister and brother to me, like I'm in church, y'all. So y'all forgive me.
That's okay. We are brothers, all right? And sisters.
Brothers and sisters. Okay. Yes. That's good stuff. So we're here today. As you can heard earlier, we've been talking about mental health awareness. And so share a little bit about you guys and what BTST is doing in the community. I'm excited. Let's hear about it.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having us. This is wonderful to actually have this platform and the population that you serve and the people who listen to you. Amen. For them to hear how mental health services can impact us and impact our communities. Because I think that oftentimes people of faith feel that there is it's mutually exclusive, that you can't both seek mental health services and still love God.
Wow.
And when I say that, I say that, you know, you have to you have to be mindful that mental health issues, it's a mental disease. And wow. When you have a physical disease, you reach out to a doctor. Mm-hmm. Then
that's
you
right,
reach
right.
out to a trained professional. Then not only that, you reach out, you pray to God to find the right one. And when you get him, you say, Lord Jesus, please bless his hands, Lord. Make him, help him make good and wise decisions, Lord.
That's
so
good.
The same thing can be said for mental health services as well. Sometimes if you are there and you're asking God for a rescue, God brought all of us to this earth to help each other. We're here to answer each other's prayers. And so those two things can go together.
Yeah.
And for what we do for BTST services, we provide mental health services in the community. We do individual and family therapy, and we do it primarily for the Medicaid population. Mm-hmm. So the people who are underserved can get service. For years, I've worked in West Baltimore. Mm-hmm. I worked in West Baltimore, and I've seen it change and I've seen it develop, and I've seen people become more interested in providing and getting mental health services. Before, when we would go out, people would be like, kind of like, nah, I don't want people messing with my head, you know, and they would feel kind of resistant to it. But now, the more that we're getting it out there and we're trying to change the stigma, and May is Mental Health Month, and NAMI has decided that the tagline for this Mental Health Month is Cure Stigma. Mm-hmm. And so now that people are releasing those stigmas and realize mental health doesn't mean that you're quote unquote crazy. Mental health means that you have to take care of your mind same manner and the same interest that you would take care of your body.
Mm-hmm.
And so people understand that these things go together and they work together. So we provide individual and family therapy. We go into homes. Mm-hmm. We go into schools. We go into communities. We know that a lot of the population that we serve, they don't have access to transportation.
Wait a minute. Let me just jump in real
go
quick.
Ahead,
real quick. I know you're moving, but wait a minute. No. You do what you do, but I have to stop you. So y'all don't just sit in the building.
No.
And wait for people to come to you.
No.
Wow.
People don't have a lot of the population that we serve don't have access to mm-hmm. vehicles, don't have access to bus money, don't have access to walk. And so the best thing for us to do is, if you can't find services, if you can't get the services, we're not going to let that be a barrier. We will come to you.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And even
that's
for
amazing.
Medication, we will. If you need medication, we will bring you to us. We have a fleet of vans. We go out, we provide transportation.
Amen.
We'll go anywhere in Baltimore City and the surrounding counties. There should not be a barrier for you getting help for yourself and your family.
That's
because
great.
Please believe it's not just a one person thing.
So what are the challenges? Are the challenges of people just not really, like you said, the stigma that they don't want this service, or maybe they don't need it, or they don't know that they need it?
Mm-hmm.
Is the stigma just that they don't accept it? Or where do you find challenges with really helping people who haven't come?
Well, the first thing is, it's that for the longest time we were held up by certain thoughts. It was that we were to be strong. And I know that a lot of this was rooted in survival. When you have people who've come from chattel slavery and the trauma of that, it's unspeakable. The crimes that you have and the things that have been imposed upon your body, yourself, and your family are unspeakable.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times our ancestors and our grandparents and great-grandparents, they felt like, to move forward, we can't even talk about it.
Wow.
Let's not even talk about how you feel, because if I talked about the full weight of my loss, it may destroy me.
Mm.
And so we've we've learned that to survive, we can't talk about it. But now I think we're getting to a point where we're looking around and we're saying, hey, wait a minute, we've survived.
Right.
It's time for us to move forward and thrive.
You have to we have to face that thing.
It's time to, because, you know, we're on gospel radio, so I will just say that, you know, God wants us to live abundantly. God wants us to enjoy this life. We're not just here to suffer. He wants us to have peace and to enjoy this life. And part of enjoying this life is to confront those dysfunctions, or we, in the church, where we call them curses, those generational curses that we have on our lives. So we want to confront those things. And part of confronting those things is to acknowledge that it's a problem to begin with.
So that's the first step for a lot of people, right? And some people may be listening, or they know of somebody who's listening, who's tuned in, that they haven't really accepted the first step first. Because they're living this alternate life. They're living with their disease or their issues, and trying to patch and trying to find ways to go around it. But give us some examples of some signs and some things that that says, hey, look, you need to come check us out.
So we all have the blues sometimes.
Okay.
We all get anxious sometimes. What happens is, the problem is when it impacts your daily life for far too long. So, you know, I used this example before, you know, how you go through a breakup and you're sad for a little while, and, you know, you're thinking of all the things that could have been, would have been, should have been, but wasn't. And so, you know, you might, you like eat a little bit too much, eat not enough, not get enough sleep,
you're on
not
my
get
street
enough rest.
Now.
You know, you know, your friend's like, come on, let's hang. You're like, nah, girl, I'm in the house tonight. You know, you're sad. If that's fine, and that happens, but we all have that period where we've rebound.
Okay.
And so if that goes on for too long, and you're, it's a year later and you're still in a funk about it.
Wow.
Not just a little, you know, a little heartbreak every time a Toni Braxton song comes on, but you're still in a funk about it, and it won't go away, and you can't work like you used to, and you don't want to enjoy your friends like you used to, and you notice that your thoughts are dark, and you're sleeping too much, and you're eating too much, and it's impacting your, we call it your activities of daily living.
That's right.
If it starts to impact those, and also listening to, it's good to have a good support system around your natural supports. Listening to what your friends say or your family says about your behavior. Because sometimes if you're depressed or you're in a dark space, it's hard for you to be objective about yourself. It's just like, have you ever noticed that you didn't realize you got fat so your clothes got too tight? Like, wait a minute.
That's
the
hair.
I look the same to me.
How did I get here? How did I get here?
It's that cookie that at 9 o'clock at night. That's how I even get there. But you know, but your family and your friends notice before you do.
That's very true.
And being open to hearing, like, oh, there might be something here. Let me look into this.
Wow. That's awesome.
That is.
Sometimes we put barriers around the real, the situation, the issue. Sometimes we don't let people in. Like, you can't touch that, you can't be there. I often think of it this way, where we become, we're wise enough to protect the things that we know are a problem for us, with excuses or procrastination or whatever it is. But sometimes we just need to say something. We need to acknowledge, you know, what it is that we're going through. Safe place.
Yes.
You know,
it's, what you're saying is absolutely true. I want you to think about it in the physical sense.
Okay.
If you have a wound, you don't want people touching your wound.
Right.
It hurts.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. It hurts. But the more you neglect it, the more it gets infected.
Wow.
And sometimes the only thing that takes care of that wound is to go in to clean it out and to treat the source of the infection.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So it can be pain. I never want to mislead people. When you start therapy, it can be painful initially, but it's like anything else. It's just like, you know, you get a tooth pulled. It hurts when they're yanking. But after you're like, oh, thank God. Thank God that's over. I'd rather have that than the continued toothache prolonged forever.
Right.
So you can go in and you can dress it. But the beautiful thing is, not only do you help yourself, but you help other people around you.
That's right.
Because they may also be engaged in dysfunctional behaviors that are normal. Dysfunction can feel comfortable because it's what we know and it's what we understand. And so when we start to change it, sometimes the initial reaction from people is, she changed, girl, she changed. Right. But then on the other hand, after a while, after they see you modeling functional behavior and not, you know, and putting up your boundaries and doing what needs to be done, and you're healthy and you're growing, they want to emulate that as well.
Okay. That's good. That's good.
That's great.
Amen. Wow. If I could, if I could jump in real fast, it's awesome that you said that, because that is a big drawback that we find. People don't want to go and talk to anyone because I don't want to relive it again. I don't want to talk about it again. So bringing them to a place where you might have to talk about it, it's going to be hard, but you know, it's for the good. You have to start somewhere. That's a big barrier.
I would jump in also and say that some of this stuff is generational. Mm-hmm. Because some families, you know, you grow up where they don't want things to be out. Like, right. don't talk about my issues. Mm-hmm. Like, exactly. They don't even tell. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. You grew up in a house where... Mm-hmm. You couldn't it's talk about the mm-hmm. stuff that yeah. we saw. Mm-hmm. You could not address the white mm-hmm. elephant in yep. the room.
Right.
Number one. Yep. Number two, you definitely can't go out and say anything to anybody else.
Right.
And so some people are brought up to hold on. They're taught to hold on to so much mm-hmm. stuff. And as I mentioned earlier, there is just so much weight that we are not even created to carry.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think it's so, I'm mm-hmm. glad that you said that, because there is this thing, there's a protective thing. And again, in our community, in order to protect our families, we've had to keep stuff mm-hmm. inside of our home wow. because of outside forces that would like to destroy yes. your family, if we're being honest. Right. And so what you have to be mindful of, have you ever taken biology and they talk about the cells, how there's a permeable membrane and a semi-permeable membrane?
Mm-hmm. Oh man, you done took me back.
Okay, I know, right?
So, I heard it before, but
Lord, that's a nerd.
Hey, listen. She got a lot in her brain.
There you
but
go.
but what that is, you want to develop a semi-permeable membrane, which means that some things go in and some things go out. And if you have a healthy living situation, anything that happens in your house, the people inside know what goes in and what goes out. If it's something that's so toxic, that cell needs to get rid of that. Wow, if it's something that's invading, that cell needs to get rid of that. So if someone is being, let's say, if someone is being molested or abused or, you know, mishandled in a certain way or not being fed appropriately, that's not a secret. Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's abuse. That's not a secret. That's not something that we keep. That's something that we reach outside to get help.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, see, I'm a tech guy. Garbage in, garbage out.
Garbage in, garbage out.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That was a good one that you had, but mine was garbage in.
Okay. Okay.
but that's good because we have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And again, anytime there's no natural flow.
Mm-hmm.
So in school I learned you can never destroy energy.
No.
Energy mm-hmm. you can place it, displace it, mm-hmm. but you can never destroy it.
Yeah, that's what trauma is.
Wow.
So trauma is your body goes into a primitive response. Y'all gonna take me to
go ahead.
Okay, your body goes
into
a primitive response, and you guys know about fight and flight. Everybody's heard about that.
Right.
So what happens is that sometimes when you experience trauma, there's a third one. Mm-hmm. So there's fight, flight, and then there's also freeze. Mm-hmm. And freeze mm-hmm. often happens. A lot of times we've heard, and Ashley can attest to this too, when we've dealt with children who've had trauma, they are, if you sexually molested, they ask themselves, why didn't I move? Why didn't I run? Why didn't I fight?
Yeah.
And what happens is you have determined somewhere on your primitive level, and the basis of you've decided I can't win this. The only way that I can win this is to literally lay here and pretend to be dead.
Wow.
Yeah. But the feelings that you would have, you know, when you run or when you fight, mm-hmm. adrenaline takes over your body. Mm-hmm. The freeze response, it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you also release cortisol, which is, I know you've probably heard the commercial, cortisol increases belly fat.
Mm-hmm.
So it does more than that. It sears an experience into your brain, and it burns an experience into your brain that says fire is hot. Don't touch it. And so that trauma is seared into your brain and your body forever until it's released. So that fight flight, when you run and you get away, you're like, whew, Lord, I made it. Or if you fight and you conquer it, you're like, whew, I survived. I tore it up. But if you freeze, that's still there with nowhere to go.
So it can be counterproductive, mm-hmm. and you can jump right in.
So how do you walk somebody through the process of healing?
Yeah.
That's a long process. And if you have a good therapist, it's a process in which they won't make you relive everything all at one
That's
time.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
I was going to ask is, because of what you said,
mm-hmm.
in them, they're processing that. I can't get this out because it's like,
so much.
So much. It's like fire. Don't touch it. Don't touch
mm-hmm.
it. It's like an oven, right?
Mm-hmm.
But so it can be counterproductive mm-hmm. if when we notice that people are still dealing and struggling with certain things, mm-hmm. us trying to force them and make them get it out.
No, mm-hmm.
But I think that's what's wrong with the stereotype of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that as a community, a lot of people feel like if you talk about it, mm-hmm. then you're just reliving it and it's still the problem and nothing's going to change.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I think of the example like Jada was saying, a lot of things stay within. But think about whenever something happens, we have our boys and we tell them not to cry.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good example.
Right. Mm-hmm. We have our boys. We tell them, oh, real men don't cry. Mm-hmm. You keep it in. You tough it out. You keep it to yourself. And, you know, real men move forward. Mm-hmm. Well, how are they supposed to deal with
that? Well,
I
feel that way, though. Don't be crying. I be whining and crying. Okay, no, I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
Shed your tears.
Whining is different than crying.
Please don't whine.
But let's talk about that right there. Okay, yeah, I mean,
say you don't cry. You never cry right now.
You know that I cry a little bit. But that's the kind of things that we're talking about. Like, there's a reason why we as men tell our young boys don't cry, but we don't really understand the implication that that has on serious stuff. Like, mm-hmm. how do you determine? Okay, you can cry for this stuff, right. but no, you can't cry for that.
It comes with maturity, though. Yes. Okay. Little boys need to be able to hit those mile markers and be able to manage their emotions on an emotionally, the level in which they're emotionally mature.
Right.
A two-year-old, I've gone in houses where there'll be a two-year-old, shut up, stop crying. That's a baby.
But how does that work socially for a young man?
I think that as mm-hmm. we stop toxic masculinity mm-hmm. and we stop having these expectations, unrealistic expectations yeah. for right. men, and allow that's men true. To be people and human beings.
And fit in a certain mold.
And right. Exactly. And that you can be mm-hmm. strong and still have and own your emotions. I have a 9-year-old, almost 10-year-old son at home. And yes, he's a mama's boy, but that's not the point. The point is that he can express his emotions to you. Right. So instead of him acting out in anger and frustration or being disobedient, he's able to identify, I feel this way about this.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's not always anger, sometimes it's frustration.
And I think it's very important as well, because my grandmother had a lot of male children, and they had my cousins are a lot of males. So when they said, stop crying, they didn't literally mean stop crying. They wanted them to learn how mm-hmm. to express themselves
that's
in a different
point.
Way.
Yep.
But if you don't have...
Mm-hmm. Now we have a lot of conversations with our kids. Mm-hmm. Sometimes mm-hmm. they'd be like, well, you talk to them too much. No, because mm-hmm. they need a safe place mm-hmm. and they need yes. to learn how to deal with these emotions.
Yes.
So when they become them. Adults, mm-hmm. they don't just fly off the handle. Mm-hmm. They don't yep. just freeze. They don't do all right. of these things. Mm-hmm. They can balance their emotions and express in a positive way. So exactly.
Teaching them words.
Exactly. Them that's words. What I was going to say.
Put the feelings and the words
so
together.
Is that part of
right?
Is that,
part, is that
of
a part of your
that's
program?
Definitely a part well,
definitely
of it.
So.
Yes, our therapists literally work directly with them. They use so many different types of interventions, mm-hmm. and especially as we're talking about younger boys, it's okay to use things like smiley faces mm-hmm. and sad faces mm-hmm. and right. angry faces, because they don't know how to put all of that yes. together.
They have to be taught.
They have to be taught.
And there's so much assumed, right? Mm-hmm. So there's so much we assume because of the way we brought up and the areas and the teachers right. and the things that were around us. We assume that every young man, young lady is getting the things that we think they're getting. They're not getting everything that we're getting.
Right.
And there's something, some things are fragmented and replaced with trauma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, this guy just went upside my mother's head.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, real talk. Somebody mm-hmm. I love hit mm-hmm. somebody else I love.
Exactly.
And that it's may so have became normal.
Right. Exactly.
That may
right.
have became normal. Am mm-hmm. I supposed to do that? Is that how I express
normal.
How I love?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Normal. But I know not to go and tell anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because for some reason, I don't believe anybody else is going through these things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, these are the kind of situations,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then what comes out of that? So we were talking earlier, and this is where we talked about current events and stuff. Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier about, you know, this young man who hit the officer, you know, and so we show our sympathy and our prayers are to the officer, the families of the officer. But I could not help but to think about, how did that young man get to this point?
Mm.
What happened in his life that got him to this point? Not enabling him,
because
mm-hmm. you said something real key. You said it. You said, and you can say it again because you said it best. But you said, this is the first time where we've seen our community
mm-hmm.
stand in almost support mm-hmm. for something
mm-hmm.
like this.
Because
mm-hmm. it's a little different, right?
Yeah. I think that people mm-hmm. are finally understanding that these are not, it's not an isolated thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, I think that sometimes it's easier to say, you know what? If I do a certain thing with my children and mm-hmm. I take care of my children, then they won't turn out this way.
Wow.
Right. But what I want people to know is that most parents do the best they can with what they have,
they
with
exactly.
what they know how to do. And mm-hmm. with this young man, I don't know about everyone else, but it broke my heart.
Yeah. Yes,
and it broke my heart for the officer who left her house that day. She didn't anticipate dying that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and her family didn't anticipate her dying that day. So she probably left her house like we all leave our house to go to work and do our jobs the best that we can. I can't assume anything else about this officer. Mm-hmm. But what I also know is that little boy now, he's 16 years old. I'm sorry. So I don't want to call him a little boy. I'll say young man. Has now left in a situation where he's aggrieved a whole family, two right. families, his family, her family. And in addition to that, now he's facing life in jail or possibly the death penalty, which means that he will not grow to adulthood, to manhood, to make a different decision. He won't be able to father children. So that's the end of his bloodline right there. Wow. He's not able to father children. Who knows what would have come from that? You never know when you're giving birth to a Martin Luther King. You understand
that's
what I'm saying?
That's right.
So when
that's
you
right.
stop that, it stops, it hinders our whole community. So when we have young men who we're not embracing when they're young, and not teaching other ways to be when they're young, and not instilling, and I'll just say this though, but also particularly with young black men, being cognizant that in the society where we live, and I think that people are becoming more and more aware of this, they're receiving messages from birth about their importance and their self-worth. And so from birth, it's clear that young black males aren't necessarily valued. And I don't have to say this, I'm not stating it as an opinion. I'll just say that if you look at the number of young black males who are killed on a daily basis, and there's not a physical or visceral reaction by from our country about that, that just goes to show what the worth is ascribed to that person. So that's number one. Number two, when they attend school, and school teachers, I know teachers, my best friend in this world is a teacher, and I know she wakes up every day and she gives it her all because she cares, but they're not supported either. So you have teachers who go into systems that are broken, and you have the prison, the school to prison pipeline. So these people, these children, especially in Baltimore City, are held in schools until they're ready to age out of the system and then go straight to jail. So you go from one holding area to another. And I just ask our community to think about what safeguards were put in place for this boy. And not just, his mother got on, she said she did everything that she could. She tried as hard as she could.
And I believe
but,
that.
But always, I mean, embrace that. We always have to be considered, I mean, because of this radio, I'll just say this, we have to be considered about the widow and the orphan.
Absolutely.
And we have to take care of the children. It is all of our business to take care of children.
That's
not just our own.
That's what we're talking about, the village mentality.
This is what happened with him.
And this is a part of
he slipped through. Now, I'm not saying he wouldn't have gone on. I don't know this young man. You don't know this young man. I'm not saying he wouldn't have gone on to do other things or that he didn't have a past or anything else. But who checked him from the beginning? Who pulled, who said, you know what? We're going to blanket you with love and self-esteem and self-respect and help you to, I don't know about you, but I cherish my life. And because I cherish my life, I cherish other people's lives as well.
Well, when I think of Better Tomorrow Starts Today.
Shout out to Chris Simon for that. The first time I heard BTST, I came. He started BTST in 2008, and I'm a late. I came on. I joined later, but the first time I heard it, I was like, "That's a cumbersome, a better." And people always mess it up. But when you sit back and you think about a better tomorrow starts today. That is the therapeutic principle right there.
All by itself, it says so much, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
And I struggled the first time they won the show. I kept struggling with the letters. So that's why I keep saying it.
People do it all the time.
Chris, that's why I keep saying it, Chris. Because I'm trying to get it right. But when I think of, you know, what it does is it really what it really is. And let me get this out the way I see it. It really is the practical stuff that's needed that our churches don't have. So our churches, you know, we understand when there's an issue. Like we if you're wise enough and you have you're a preacher, you're a pastor, a great leader, you recognize that there are some things that are just out of your control. Like you can't help. You know, and there are some things where you have to have practical help and assistance and people who are professionally licensed to be able to deal with certain things. And unfortunately in our churches, there are so many people who are walking around missed or either not diagnosed or really haven't really been able to step up. Just imagine if you guys were had a kiosk in every church across America where you had an assessment. Hey, just take this 5-question survey and just think about how many people who are not taking advantage. I grew up in a household. My parents had therapy. They went to therapists. My mom struggled with you know, with mental health. My grandmother struggled with it. My aunt struggled with it. They were going to their appointments. I don't know. It was like almost every other week they were going. And so it was familiar to me. But then when I started going through things, I'm thinking like, wow, I wonder if I ever struggle with things. But as I got older, didn't go. And then after going through so many traumatic things, here's a situation that I didn't deal with. And while God may inspire me to deal with it the way he wanted me to, I could have prevented so many other choices and things had I went and got help.
You know, I think that sentiment is changing in churches. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my pastor, Apostle Karen Bethea, set the captives free.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
She's a mother and big sister to the show.
Good fruit. I'm telling you.
Appreciate you.
But what she's done is she's made safe spaces for mental health at our church.
Wow.
And so we have mental health awareness. She brings mental health professionals a panel before the the congregation. And then there's a room where people can get referrals. We have what's the PATH, which is a Bible study. It's pointing all towards heaven. And in one of those sessions on the PATH, it's a year long. It's called Growing into Wholeness, where people literally talk about offense and mental health issues and all of those things. So she realizes that sometimes the people, she can take care of spiritual needs and the church can take care of spiritual needs. But sometimes people have other needs as well, too.
I'm not going to the dentist if I got a toe ache.
No.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, that's just real talk, y'all. Right. Yeah. If my toe is throbbing like it is right now, I'm not going to see, you know, somebody who deals with the head or because or you these people are specialized in what they do.
And what a release for a congregation, for a pastor to acknowledge that it's okay to get mental health treatment.
And this is a change in culture.
It is a change in culture because I think a lot of us have felt all this time that it's our faith that has to get us through. And your faith does. And if any therapist worth their salt will incorporate your faith in that. I'm not a pastoral counselor, but when I talk to clients who are Christians like me, first of all, I acknowledge that I'm a Christian as well. And I ask them, what coping skills do you use? And if prayer and meditation are coping skills that they identify that they use, well, we can incorporate that into your treatment.
Absolutely. Amen. That's good. And I think it's good to know that you have leadership that believe that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as someone who grew up in the church that became a person that was in, a daily mental health advocate, you know, it's, you need to be able to hear from the entire congregation about what's going on. And you need to be able to hear that pastor say, these are the people that are there for you. These are the people that can help you. Highlight them. I've been one of those people that was at the church and was there for people. Yeah, I can attest for it. And it's healthy and it's good to know that it's there. But most important, we go to church and we look at our leaders of the church. And if we have our leaders of the church who are there telling us, this is for you, I think that we could bridge that gap a little bit more.
Praise God.
That's good.
Things are changing. Things are changing for the good. And we pray and encourage that, you know, everyone would just jump on board and, you know, get with the program because this thing, it's not going away. You know, you spoke of something when you said survivor. You know, we had that survivor mentality, you know, and we didn't, you know, we weren't the ones, you know, in slavery and all those things. But those things have made an indigenous impact on all of us. They have made an indigenous impact on all of us. So the way that we protect our kids, the way that we see and perceive things that are happening in our world, we all go back to this survivor mode, and we gotta be strong and don't tell nobody. And if she know or he know, if they know, then that makes me look. You know what? Ego
Free
and
yourself.
Pride gotta
Free
go.
Yourself.
But ego and pride has got
and
to
take
go.
It even further. Gotta take go. It even further. You look at when the Israelites were when they were freed from Egypt. Moses freed them and led them through the wilderness, but Joshua had to take them to the next step.
Right.
Joshua had to get them. You understand?
Right.
Joshua got them to the promised land.
That's right.
So this is what we have to think about. Our ancestors, they did their time. They were chattel slaves. They survived so that we could be here. Who are we not to take advantage of that opportunity and be as healthy and whole as possible for the next generation?
Right. And Jesus said, even greater works shall we do.
Amen.
So, you know, I just think that I'm grateful for the dynamic, and I'm grateful for the fact that faith is changing in that that aspect or whatever, because we didn't have the resources then. All we had was like take it to the Lord in prayer, you know. And now, because these things are resources that we can actually touch, and now we're being taught more about it, because at the beginning I was just like, oh, people are just crazy, you know. But it's a mental health, protecting your mind, covering your mind, doing things that are helping you be healthy holistically. So I think it's important. And you know, with what do you use, or what techniques do you use? I know they're case-to-case basis, but do you use like affirmations, or affirmation important? Like, what are some practical things on the surface that people can use to help build their mental health?
One of my favorites is CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy. And what we do in CBT, I'll simplify it. What we do is we help you identify what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. And I know that may sound like a really simple thing, but if you are actually, if you sit in stillness and all of the thoughts that come in and out of your brain and all of the things that are in the forefront of your mind and all of the things that are in the back of your mind and all the words and phrases that you say to yourself all day long, you will be astounded mm-hmm. at just how busy your brain is. It is amazing. If anybody ever tells you, if you say, what you thinking about? And they say I'm nothing, that's a lie. Yeah, that's a lie.
Always think about something. That's
always think about something.
And so you would be insane.
Think about this game, LeBron James, you know. He's gonna win.
Now you sound like my husband.
You know, that's all I'm thinking.
All I'm gonna say is I done lost my husband to the basement, y'all, because I don't see him now in the playoffs. But if you think about, you have to become aware of what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And so we help people to literally think of all of the narratives that run through your brain all the time. And you'd be surprised how many of those narratives are negative. Mm-hmm. But if you relate it to church and you think about how we're taught to learn specific Bible verses so that you can pull them up at any time. It's right. very similar to cognitive behavioral therapy in that way that we teach people to identify what the negative narratives are and then replace them with the positive narratives.
Mm-hmm. If you wanted somebody to know something, this is a Mental Health Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
If there's one thing that you would want people to know today, mm-hmm. somebody who's watching, listening, who didn't even consider mental health today, but they just found out, oh, it is, May.
Mm-hmm.
What's the one thing that you would want somebody to know today?
You do not have to suffer alone.
Amen.
You don't have to suffer alone.
That's good.
Amen.
Wow.
And also, it's okay.
That's good.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's tough, right?
Mm-hmm. It's okay.
For people, that's a statement of you can embrace what you've gone
mm-hmm.
through.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
It doesn't have to be a bad thing.
No.
Because some people ask, why me? Mm-hmm. Why did I have to go through that? Can mm-hmm. you explain to me why me? Now, one thing I will share, I'm going to let you jump. Mm-hmm. One thing I will share is that even in church and ministry, one of the tough things that people process, you're talking about thinking, is that this man can't help me.
Mm-hmm.
This pastor can't help
mm-hmm.
me. Deacons can't. They don't have anything mm-hmm. to say. They don't know my story. Nobody understands where I've been. So what does sitting down, listening to somebody, a counselor, What does that do for me? How does that help me in any way?
Well, I'll say, when you say why me, I think we get caught up in that, but I think it's a beautiful blessing that it can be you sometimes. Like, for instance, I have anxiety disorder.
Okay.
Can you tell? Like,
no,
most people don't even know
that
I have anxiety disorder. What you don't know is that 1 o'clock this morning, I was up like, oh God. Now, keep in mind, I speak to people all the time.
Right.
This is not my first radio program.
Never gets old, right?
You know, I stand in front of people, and I always disclose to people when I stand in front of them to do presentations, I have anxiety disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So I may start off shaky, but I'm using my coping strategies right now.
Wow.
And by the end, I'm winning. Like, I'm killing it.
You're right,
you're killing
it.
You know what I'm saying? But what I want people to understand is by all outside looks, I'm doing pretty well in life.
Amen.
And so you can have a diagnosable dysfunction and mm-hmm. still do well in life.
Amen.
You can learn how to manage mm-hmm. and use coping strategies and know what works for you. Yeah. Ashley will tell you, I'll come and I'll say, you know what? I'm off today. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have a conversation. And if I'm snippy, I'll be like, you know what? It's not you. Let me figure out what's off with me first.
Wow.
And
really.
Identify why.
It
no, really. why am I?
Now, do y'all work together in the office?
Do we?
All day?
We work together. We think together. We eat together. We breathe together.
So this is a symbiotic
awesome.
Relationship
awesome.
Right here. I don't know how healthy it is.
Hey, that's got to be a good thing. It's coming out. We have a comment in Facebook. Thank y'all so much for joining. We appreciate you. If you have any questions, please, please, please share them. We appreciate you. Of course, I did shout out to my brother Chris. Chris is amazing, man. This guy. I love watching their journey and all the great things that they're doing. But we have a comment from Takia. And she says, we are in desperate need of mental health providers in the community.
Mm-hmm.
You all are doing a positive thing. I think most of us who are if you
that's so nice to hear.
It is.
Hearing that makes
good
us
news.
Feel amazing
yeah.
because we literally pride ourselves for going into the community. We are not someone that's going to make you come to us.
No.
Right. We will literally break down every single barrier
we're
possible.
Come get you.
We will come get you. We will knock on your door, ma'am and sir. It's really good to hear that because it's needed.
Yeah.
It's so needed. And even our office space, it's where it's at for a reason.
Yes.
Right.
It's where it's at for a reason. We are purposely located in the heart of Baltimore City.
1900 North Howard Street, third floor.
Yes, third floor. Hit the buzzer on the door. We'll let you in. And literally, we are there for a reason because we don't want anybody to not have a reason mm-hmm. to get to where we are. We are in the heart of of the people that we're servicing.
I will say this, too. I really, 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 really liked The NBA is doing something that's very, really good as well, where some of the players are stepping up and sharing that, you know, they had a problem. I think one was Kevin Love, and then the other one was
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant did as well. DeRozan. Is it DeRozan from Toronto? So they are stepping up and saying, hey, listen, I was going through this and I had a problem. You're talking about millionaires. You're talking about, and this is the thing, right? It doesn't matter who you are. There's no prejudice, right, to who this can be impacted. Pastors, bishops, archbishops,
anyone,
everybody is really subject to being able to have healthy mental stability. So that's good. There are other comments in here. I have to sort through them, and I think some people suffer in silence because of fear of judgment, and they don't want people to see them the way they see themselves. The facade is just easier. And then she said, sorry, that was me, but it came up as good life. I believe that's my wife, Kate Jefferson. Shout her out. Hey, Kate. Appreciate you, baby. I'm still working on my reading, too. But that's good. You know, it's a facade. Sometimes people put it on a facade to, you know, they're going through, they're doing the best they can. But we just want people to see that we're okay. We want people outwardly to see that.
And I think as a community, we have to be mindful of our words. I can't stand the word crazy. Right? And that's because that is the stigma behind what mental health is.
Exactly.
We have to be mindful of calling people certain things and labeling people with certain things because it makes them not want to get help and not want to seek more assistance.
Yep. Now, the term bipolar. Now, I understand that bipolar.
It's been so misused.
People use it sometimes in a joking way, right? But that's a real serious,
It is. It can be really, and it's really, when people use it in a way that, in a careless manner, it's so painful for the people who've been diagnosed with bipolar disorder and will stop them from seeking treatment because people have, for years, treated them, like Ashley said, like they were crazy. What bipolar is, it's some people are diagnosed with depression. And bipolar is depression and mania. Okay. And for people who don't know, mania is if you can imagine a human being on an exaggerated form. So a human being times 1,000. So people who are in a state of mania, they can have increased sexual activity.
Laughter.
Increased creativity, grandiose sensibility, meaning that they believe they're the best thing that ever lived. And it feels good to them.
That's what that is?
Yes, that's what it is. And so sometimes we'll have artists, not everybody who has bipolar disorder is an artist, but sometimes we'll have artists who are bipolar and they will go in a manic state and it feels good to them.
Right.
They'll shop more, they're super creative. It feels really good. And then they crash down and have depression. And it's a crippling depression. It can lead to being catatonic, which means that you are in almost an awakened coma, where you're there, you can't move, you can't function, you can't, exactly. And so for us to stop people from getting help because of our words, and we have to, like you said, we have to be mindful actually of our words. But because we're on Guard Radio, I'll say this. If you are made in the image of your creator and he created the universe with a word, how powerful are your words?
And we're taught that. We're taught
did y'all
in
hear
church.
That?
Yeah. Woo.
That was a major nugget.
Watch what you say, you know, because your words give life and they give death.
Yes.
Oh man, I'm coming back to that.
Yeah.
She
words
said
mean
if we were created in the image of God, how powerful are our words?
Yeah.
And so we were talking earlier about the critical times of when somebody says, I wanted to commit suicide. I feel like I want to commit suicide. When a person gets to that point and they disclose that's almost like, okay, first I'm opening up to you. I'm confiding into you. Does that suggest, hey, I need help?
Oh,
what
definitely.
What does that say? What does that actually say when a person comes out and discloses something like that?
Help me.
There's no overreaction. Think of how long it takes someone to get there. How many times those thoughts went through their head and they never said it out loud. So for them to finally get there, help me.
And again, what we talked about the self-preservation thing, babies know what to do to survive. Babies fight for life.
Wow.
So when a person is ready to give up, imagine the intense pain, emotional pain that a person has to be in to want to end life when every day we struggle to preserve life. Every day.
Every day.
So to want to end that means that I'm an intense, deep, emotional pain, and I need to reach out. I need help.
And it's serious every single time.
Every mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. There's every no overreaction.
No. Right.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And they may be mad at you because you mm-hmm. you know you got you know you got them some help. They yeah. might be mad initially, yeah, but that's okay because 5 years place. Later when they're still alive
right.
and life
yeah.
has changed.
Yeah, it's yeah. a good place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can be mad at me.
Oh man, we're having a great so time, good. Sister Jada, yeah, so Sister good. Ashley in the building. Better Tomorrow Starts so Today. Services mm-hmm. are here. We've discussed a lot. There has been a lot shared. Listen, if you missed it, guess what? You got to tune in at 3 p.m. right here on Awesome mm-hmm. God Radio. Connect with us. This has been a great day. We're going to end our show, but I will say that it's been a very helpful, a lot of information. Sis, we're going to have y'all come back
yeah, right. absolutely.
And spend a couple of hours co-host with us.
Listen, y'all need to come in.
We're going to stay over there. And y'all come over here.
Because this stuff yeah. is applicable to almost everything yeah. we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't talk about the mass shooting, but to the families that in Texas, mm-hmm. the school, Santa Fe, I believe it was, Santa Fe mm-hmm. Strong. You know, our prayers going out to those families.
Absolutely.
But, you know, to the point where a young man would decide to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we can look at the different cultures and turn our backs and our heads. But guess what? I think the devil works in some real crazy. Mm-hmm. He is crazy. Mm-hmm. Crazy places and crazy spaces. And so all of these things at some point tie to how somebody was processing things from a mental standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't be healthy if it harms people.
Yep. Right.
So it cannot be healthy. And it can't. Mm-hmm. There's no right. good when yeah. it comes to people yeah. losing lives because somebody makes the decision to take somebody else's life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Consciously, cognitively makes the decision to do certain things.
Right.
Just like harm yourself. You know, mm-hmm. for somebody to make that decision, there has to be a place and space in your mind and in your heart that doesn't allow room for a better place. So thank y'all. Let's give it up for them, y'all. Let's celebrate them.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate y'all. This has been a great show. As I said, today, the DMV Christian Hip Hop Awards is going down right here in the Baltimore area.
Yes.
I need y'all to meet us there.
Yes.
Can y'all meet us there?
Y'all.
Can you please meet us there?
Nominated, y'all.
Take the day. Come through. Good Life Gospel Show. Awesome God Radio. AJ's being presented. Honored. So much other great people. Our yeah. friends are going to be there. Yeah. It's going to be a great time. I need y'all to come down
out,
to the Cultural Arts Center down Mulberry and Howard Street, right there at the intersection. You won't miss it.
At
come
three.
On in. All right, y'all. We appreciate y'all. We love y'all. It's been a great show.
Yeah.
How y'all doing? Weekend okay?
Awesome.
We're hanging out at the awards.
Okay, yeah. That's where we're going to be today. Mm-hmm. I want to also shout out to my aunt and my family. We're having a great cookout. Hey, guess what, y'all? My birthday is this week, so I'm going
to
enjoy this.
Yep,
May 30th is my birthday. So Memorial Day is like the hot dogs, hamburgers, you mm-hmm. know, barbecue chicken kind of environment. So, you know, just have fun. Do something positive this week, y'all.
Yeah.
Enjoy your weekend, y'all. Yeah. 3 days off. Enjoy it. Embrace life. I share this and I say this. For those who are struggling with absolutely anything, I just believe that, yeah, there's some practical help there. We talked about all of the different things that are there. There are some practical things that are there. Maybe you've tried that. You know, maybe you have shared with someone who can really give you some things to help you to think and process. But there needs to be a balance spiritually as well.
Mm-hmm.
My sister said, coping. What do you do as a coping mechanism? And we're using God and we use God. And He expects for us to use Him when we go through things.
Yeah.
And He allows us to and help us to see things in a way that He would want us to. So, you know, I just want those that may not be there yet, mm-hmm. where they think, you know what, I'm just going to deal with the humanity side of me, but I'm not going to deal with the spiritual side of me. Today, make a decision, right,
yeah.
to really invest in your spirituality.
Amen.
So I just want to pray with you for those who are out there who are still, you know, on the fence of what to do. Just want to pray with you, Father. I thank you so much for this day, God. I thank you for what has been shared on today. Thank you for our guests, God, who are here literally saving lives, God, helping people to process things, God, in the best and in the right way, the most healthy way. God, that's what you have created when you sent Jesus to us to give us word, to give us an example, a template of what to do in every situation. God, that we know the devil will come to tempt us, that we know that there will be peers that will share things that we don't agree with. that we know that there will be people that would approach us with ill intent. Mm-hmm. God, but you have prepared and equipped us mm-hmm. and given us a foundation that we have the word to be able to help us and guide us and take us to places that the enemy can't go. So God, I pray now that you will protect our spirits, our hearts, our minds, our families from any demons or anything that would try to overthrow the very gift that you have given us.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's our love for you. Remove it, God. If there's anything in this place and any listener, any home, any person that is connected to us, we're praying now, God, that you stand firm, that you help us to stand, be the light in dark places and be able to acknowledge you in those times. We love you, God. We thank you.
Thank you
for Better Tomorrow Starts Today. Thank you, God, for Chris and his team. Thank you, God, for my sister Jada, for Ashley. Thank you, God, for my wife and our families, God. Be with us. We pray that you would get all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. We appreciate y'all. Y'all have a blessed week. Meet us there, y'all. Marbury, Howard. Just a few more minutes, y'all. Get there early. Get your tickets there. We appreciate y'all. Keep us locked. AwesomeGodRadio.com.